Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 1039 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, much more importantly, wonderful author. She's the author of 12 books. Very productive career, still going very strong. Carol Parrish Hara is our very special guest. Miss Hara, how are you? Mrs. Hara, I should say.
I'm just fine. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Well, yeah, me too. And it's always nice to talk to someone who does what they do very well, but it's also nice to talk to somebody who does what they do well and is prolific with it. And congratulations on hitting all cylinders. If you don't mind, let's do a little bit of your history and let's start from the beginning. Where were you born and where were you raised?
I was born in Arkansas and I was raised for the most part in Florida. Okay. I grew up near Orlando.
Ah, very good. How early did you move from Arkansas to Orlando?
I went back and forth. My grandmother was in Arkansas. My parents lived in Florida. And I went back and forth between the two. In the summers, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents.
Well, it's always hard when you have to make that one move there, but it's acclimated. And you ended up in a beautiful part of the country. In Orlando. Do you think your settings, and before we get into more of your personal history, but do you think your settings had much to do with your future writings?
I probably think so, because my grandmother and grandfather raised me as much as my mother did. And so I had to deal with two families and two kinds of ways they raised me, I think. And my grandparents developed my sensitivity more than my parents did. They had other children, and I learned to share there.
What did your folks do for a living?
My mother was a telephone company supervisor. My dad worked in a garage. He was a mechanic.
Right. So, yeah, you know what it's like to work for a living and to see your folks work for a living. You weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth.
Not at all.
Yeah. How about your grandparents? What did they do?
My grandparents probably spoiled me. My grandmother was crippled, and I was her helper. And so I did a lot of things as they asked, but it taught me to serve a lot. And because she couldn't walk well, I was her legs.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's lovely. For a young lady to take that on is a wonderful thing to do. Do you remember early on what you first saw or who you first saw as an author that you appreciated or that you, I don't want to say role model quite yet, I'll let you say that, but was there anything real early on in life that proved to be a starting point for you, an author particularly?
In high school, I was a editor of the school newspaper.
See, that's...
And I did that largely because I was very impressed with my journalism instructor, and I liked to write.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's actually a big job for a young person. You don't realize it while it's going on, but the experience these young men and women are getting to this day to be the editors of their newspapers, they're taking on a lot, because not only are they forced to write themselves so often, and forced is the wrong word, but they're propelled to write themselves, but they also have to take other writers in and not only clean up a lot of their work, but I guess motivate. Do you look back on that experience as being a helpful one, the editor's work?
It was healthy and happy and very disciplined, because when I was a child doing that, we're talking about the 1950 and 51, we didn't have computers and we had to do a lot on typewriters and we had to cut and piece things together, and we made models, and then the models were printed.
Yeah.
So it was quite different than the way it is now.
Let me remind folks that are just tuning in or maybe turning their radios on a little late, Frank McKay here, much more importantly, the author of 12 wonderful books, Carol Parrish Hara, is our very special guest. Thrilled to have her. And talking a bit here about her history, personal history, I'd love to get a foundation. And so many of you, I think, need to go get her books. And if you're not driving, we'd ask you to look along while you're listening with her history. Where's the best website or a social media site someone can go to find out a little more of you? And again, those not driving. Carol?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Is there a website or a social media site?
I have a website, Carol Parrish Hara, and I have email, and I correspond with people when they ask me to. I work a lot with private students and have weekly classes or bi-weekly classes with them according to what a person might want.
See, that's great. I mean, that's nice. That keeps you young too, I imagine. Working with these students, you're working one-on-one with students.
Yes, I have a small group first, and then I work one-to-one with them as they're a part of the group and they're a part of private, because I always had private teachers, and I feel like it has a lot to add to a person because you can correct them, suggest specific things you see that are hindering them in a way you can't do in a large setting.
Yeah. I mean, what they're learning from an author who has 12 books published is amazing. Because once again, you're not just writing for yourself here. You're writing for others. And, you have to pick up things in the amount of time that you've been writing. You mentioned 1950 and 1951. You've been writing for other people, writing for publication for, is that 70 years or 60-something years, right? I mean, that's an amazing.
That's right.
That is absolutely amazing. And what you learn in that amount of time is just absolutely amazing.
One of the most interesting experiences that I had as a young person with my journalism instructor, in my family, if you said something that people didn't agree with, you were labeled, especially with my mother's family, that's wrong, that's not true, that kind of thing. With my grandparents, they would listen to me and I would tell them whatever my thoughts were. And they would talk to me and okay it. And they didn't just poo-poo the ideas. So when I got to high school, before I was editor, or about the time I got started, my instructor one day said to me, "Carol, you have a most wonderful imagination." And I started crying because I thought he was saying I was a liar. And that was my first, I think, breakthrough as a person that now is interested in mysticism and other dimensions and so forth. Because right then, I realized that what he thought was good, I thought was bad. And I thought he was saying what I said wasn't true. And now I see that in a lot of other people, and I see how they talk to their children. And I realize my grandparents fostered that kind of thinking in my head. They would say, "Oh, is that so?" They didn't say yes or no, but they'd say, I'd say, "That person that called on the telephone has blue eyes." And they'd say, "Is that so?" And I'd say, "I saw them." Well, they, as a child, they could say, "You can't know that."
Right.
But they didn't. They'd say, "Well, if that's what you think, that's okay with me." And the encouragement they gave me, I think, stimulated my whole adult life in that way and helped me to use my imagination in a way that I probably would have shut it down otherwise.
I think that's wonderful, and I think it's so invaluable of parents or grandparents, whoever's taking care of children, to encourage them to think for themselves and not question everything that they're doing. You know how many parents or grandparents would say, oh, how do you know? You can't see. It's so silly to say that, Carol. Come on, be serious. And it would shame you into not using your imagination. And again, let me remind people that the voice you're hearing is the wonderful author, Carol Parrish Hara. And she's just absolutely, absolutely wonderful in every sense of the word. 12 wonderful books, and you can go to her website, and again, we'll give that website out a little later again, and we encourage everyone to buy the books and correspond with Carol, and you can't do that with all the authors out there, and Carol has that open-mindedness. You know, I love what you just said about your grandparents, even without knowing them. I love them already. just think if Lewis Carroll and Frank Baum, if they were corrected as they were younger and they didn't get to use their, or Tolkien, if they didn't get to use their imaginations and they were thwarted as young people, just think of all the joy that wouldn't have come to society. Again, Frank McKay here with our very special guest, Carol Parrish Hara. And, think about it. Those pieces of literature that I mentioned, for example, The Wizard of Oz, Alice in Wonderland, The Lord of the Rings, did any of these have an influence on you?
No, I really didn't. I had, I'd say, a very simple childhood, but my grandmother was a musician and played for the piano for us at home, and she would sing. And she would tell me to visualize, although she didn't use that word. She'd say, as I'm singing or as someone's talking, make a little picture in your mind and see what they're talking about.
That's wonderful. Do you remember what anything that you read early on? And I know you point to the work that you did as a high school editor of a newspaper, which is wonderful. But do you remember the first book or the first piece of literature that you wrote that really had an impact on your life, on your career?
Yes, it was Death and Dying. It was a handbook on death and dying for the new age. And I talked about the grieving process. I wrote the book, and as I finished it, it had been submitted, came back, and one of my daughters was killed in a car accident that weekend. And I sat down with my book, and I read it again to see if it really helped. In a way, nothing helps. And in another way, to think about life after death. I had a near-death experience. So to think about that experience and think about the process of grieving, I realized how much my experience helped me to handle what went on in my own life. And so I added a little closure to the last paragraph and wrote about my daughter and my loss of my daughter. And I had no idea I was writing the book for myself because I had worked on it for a year before that.
Wonderful. I mean, just a horrible experience. No parent should ever have to bury a child, but wonderful that you took that pain and you were able to put, pen or pencil to paper and actually write about it. And it's interesting. While you were writing the book, you thought it was for everyone else, but it was therapy, maybe, right? I mean, was it therapy for you?
I think it was, and I think I learned things. I learned that there's just as much grief for a person or a family when they lose a pet. And that family pet, they grieve over it. And there's many other things. Even when a person on our street dies that we don't know very well, we still have a feeling that comes to us of having lost a piece of something. And so I wrote about pets dying and how to cope and a lot of things like that, that in the afterlife, that I thought would be helpful.
Do you, and again, not to get too personal, but do you have an experience that you'd like to share with us about the near-death experience that you experienced yourself, or that you, is that something you'd like to share with us, or is that something you keep personal?
Well, it's personal, but I share it because I think it makes a difference to other people. And when I had my near-death experience, I was in labor with a newborn having a baby. And I had not planned a lot of medication. So when the doctor gave me a shot of sodium pentothal, I went into an out-of-body state and found myself looking down on this scene of me having the baby. Saw the baby born, saw it was a little girl. And I heard the nurse say, she has all those little children. And then I whirled, and what I now we talk about is going through a tunnel. But I went into a place of the light, not so bright that it hurt your eyes, but it was like a bright day. And this voice, not a person, but a presence, said to me, if you are, you always will be. And somehow, that has always guided me and helped me. And I have never had a fear of dying or a belief that dying is the end of something. I believe it is the beginning of a next new stage for us.
Wonderful.
And that's been very important to me and important to people. When you're counseling or they're trying to make change in their life, you can use that a lot to help them move into a different state of consciousness, a more positive, encouraging one.
Just wonderful. Carol Parrish Hara is our very special guest, the author of 12 books, and just a fascinating study on being productive and using your imagination and going beyond that. And so much there, and as so much has been said in these few moments that we've had with you. And, you know, of course, you know, the absolute sheer terror that all of us, I'm a father of four, and I just couldn't imagine what anyone would go through to lose a child, and just amazing. And for you to watch your child born, or watch you giving birth, and having that experience, I mean, it's amazing to me that would occur to someone who has the skill to reproduce the story in a way that people can learn from it. So it's just an amazing life, an amazing career. Again, we got a couple moments left with Carol Parrish Hara. And can I ask you this? And again, Frank McKay here with Carol Parrish. You knew her for many books as Carol Parrish, but Carol Parrish Hara now. What does the rest of your year look like? Are you working on another book as we speak? Are you working on a cluster of books? What's your methodology, and what's the rest of your year look like?
I want to keep writing. I write because I write, not because of what anybody else does with my books. It's like I cannot help but pour out my thoughts that way. And I have just finished a book about the mysteries and how they're mysteries are held within Christianity and so few people know them. And so I wrote a book about that, and it's at a publisher's being looked at right now, and I'm hoping to get that one on the market. Amazon carries almost all my books. They can be gotten there. And then I like to work with people. I don't like to travel as much as I used to, so I work on the telephone with people. My students are all over the United States. I take them and we talk, and usually in 1 hour increments.
Well, listen, congratulations on all the success. It's on many people's bucket list to write one book. You have 12 out and more, many, many more to come, I can tell. And just congratulations on everything that you've done and how you've conducted your life. Real honor to speak to you, Carol. Parrish Hara has been our very special guest. Thank you very much, Carol.
It was a pleasure.
And everyone, go to – oh, Carol, before you leave, give us the website one more time. Carol Parrish Hara, give us the website where people can follow along.
It is just that, CarolParrishHara.com.
All right. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Buy the books. Go to the website. Carol Parrish Hara, again, has been our very special guest. Go to Amazon and buy the books. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you all next time on Breaking It Down.